Yeah, thank you, Kerry, for the opportunity to present IATA's capacity building in Mozambique. Now, in Mozambique, most of the farmers are smallholder farmers. About 98% of the farmers are smallholder farmers. And these farmers don't use inputs. They use little inputs. For example, about 4.6% of the farmers use fertilizer. So most of the nitrogen for crop productivity actually comes from biological nitrogen fixation in the traditional cropping systems. So legumes are very important. They are very essential in the cropping system in the sense that they provide nitrogen into the system, and they are also a major source of protein for both humans and livestock, and also poultry. And soybean and pigeon peas are becoming major source of income for smallholder farmers. In Mozambique, we have five main grain legumes that are produced in Mozambique: common bean, cowpeas, groundnut, pigeon peas, and soybean. IATA works on cowpeas and soybeans, but we also collaborate with SIAT and IQUISAT on the other legumes. But for this presentation, I'm going to focus on soybeans. Our research in Mozambique is focused on integrating cowpeas and soybeans genotypes and the best management practices into the cropping systems to increase productivity. Our productivity is very low in Mozambique, and this is due to a number of challenges that the farmers face, and include the use of inappropriate varieties, limited access to good quality seeds, low input use, and then the lack of basic knowledge and skills on improved management practices. So our programs are designed in such a way to address most of the challenges that the farmers face. The first is to come out with varieties that are adapted to the different ecologies. We work in four ecologies across four provinces: Nampula province, Zambezia province, Tete province, and Manica province. So what we do is that we get breeding lines from the breeders, cowpeas and soybeans, and we evaluate across the four agroecologies, and then narrow them down to varieties that are adapted across the different ecologies. And these varieties, we then move them to the farmers, who help us to select the best varieties they prefer. Now, we also develop crop management practices that go with the varieties, and seed is a major problem there. So we also improve the access to seeds through the production of foundation seed, which is given to our partners, the seed companies that are startup seed companies, and farmers associations, and community-based seed producers who produce the basic seed to produce certified seed. We also scale up the adoption of improved varieties and management practices, and also capacity building is one of our components. But this is a component that cuts across all the different activities. Now, our capacity building program targets 1, undergraduate students, 2, graduate students, and then the third is farmers and extension agents. And across all these programs, we work with partners. And for the undergraduate program, every year we receive about 25 students from the local universities. And these are students that are in the final year of the final year students. And they stay with us for 6 months, and within that 6 months, each of them will select a trial or an experiment that he or she is interested in, and they take care of the trials, and they use part of the data to write their undergraduate dissertation. Now, basically, we train them on field experimentations and field plot techniques, and throughout the period that we started in 2010, we train about 150 students. So like 25 students, we distribute them across our locations, and then they stay with us 6 months, and then they go back 6 months, they graduate. And they give them the opportunity to use many of the basic agronomy equipment, like photosynthetic meters, chlorophyll meters, septometer, and those things that they have learned but haven't seen before. So we give them the opportunity to use and to appreciate. For the graduate programs, We build our graduate training component within our projects. So for each project, we have a graduate training component, and then once we get a project, then we recruit students. And most of the time, we recruit students from the National Research Institute. And we partner with universities outside Mozambique, because the universities within Mozambique, they don't have the capacity to train graduate students. So first, our nearest neighbor, Bunda College, the University of Malawi, we send our master's student there. And we also train some students in Pretoria and also in Brazil. So we have trained so far 7 master's students and 2 PhD students. So most of the projects that we have, like TL2, Tropical Legume 2, USAID Platform Mozambique, and also an End to Africa, which is Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation support through Wageningen University. Now, in one of our PhDs, one of our PhD students actually have identified 5 effective indigenous rhizobial strains which could be used for inoculant production in Mozambique. And these strains, he compared them with the most common strains in the commercial inoculants, and they do either better or equally well as the commercial strains. Now, on farmers training and extension, now, as I said, once we identify varieties that we think are promising, we go to field with the farmers and we give seeds to farmers to also test these varieties in their field, in their own field, and that gives them the opportunity to compare the variety, the lines we have, to the varieties they are growing on their same land, on the same land. So this is one of them, and this is another one. So the farmers will plant 3 of the lines and then compare the varieties they are growing, and then we go to them and then we work with them, learn from them, and they also learn from us what they need from a variety. What are the characteristics? What are the traits that they need to consider when selecting a variety? We also do field days where we move from one farm to another to also evaluate these varieties. And with the help of the farmers, we're able to release 5 varieties of soybean, and these are the first batch of soybean varieties ever released in Mozambique. Now, with the farmers training also, we start from the basics. Now, we start from the soybean is relatively a new crop in Mozambique, so the farmers don't have much information about the crop management. So we start from the basic, and most of the crops they grow there, they don't grow in rows. No, they grow anyhow. So first, we teach them to grow in line, and also we actually discuss with them or teach them the things they have to do to increase germination and emergence of the soybean varieties, and also the population, plant population, row spacing, because most of the planting is done manually. So you have to put the seeds in the hole, 2 seeds in the hole, 10 centimeters in between holes, and then 50 centimeters between rows. And this shows some of the ways the farmers were planting before we went there, like this one. So the top one, they don't grow in any specific pattern. So they have problems with weeds. They have to weed almost every time the population is low. And then we taught them how to plant in the rows and the row spacing they have to use to actually get the optimal population they can get. And we demonstrate to them the impact of using good row spacing. For those who were using rows, who were planting in rows, they were using 75 centimeters row spacing, just like what they do for maize. So we told them, like, okay, just reduce your row spacing, so either 50 or 33 centimeters row spacing. But we also find that 50 is much better because you save seeds compared to the 33 centimeters row spacing. Now, we also teach farmers the best time to plant. It is very important. Soybean, the best time to plant contributes to yield enhancement. So the first time, we have the planting window that starts from December all the way to the 3rd week of December. That's the best planting window. But farmers usually don't know about that, so they plant anytime. So we went in there, we do demonstration plots. So this is the early planted soybean, and we have the late planted ones there and there. So they compare, they are able to compare the yields of the late planted and the early planted. And this is one of them. Like, as you delay, yield drops very fast. And so we show them that if you plant early, you are likely to have higher yields. So, but we also teach them how to match varieties to the length of the growing season. So the first two varieties are early maturing varieties. So you see that the yield decline is much lower than the last four varieties, which are medium to late maturing varieties. So we actually teach them that if you are late for some reason, if the rain delays and you have to go and plant, please use the early maturing variety. You are likely to save most of your yields. Now, on inoculation, inoculation is very important because if you inoculate your crop, you have higher yield. So we teach them the need to inoculate, why they should inoculate. We also train them on the inoculation process, how to treat the seeds, and the nodulation itself, to be able to check whether their plants have nodulated, and if they have nodulated, whether the nodules are active nodules or non-active nodules, so that they will be able to tell that, okay, I inoculated, and this I found nodules, I found, and these nodules are fixing. And this is one of the demonstration plots on inoculation. That we have the check, we have a plot with phosphorus, plot with phosphorus plus inoculant and inoculant alone. You can see the difference comparing the check to the inoculants. Now, and do the yield, we're seeing that if you inoculate, yield increased by 0.5 to more than 1 ton per hectare with the first graph. But this graph, the next graph, is a graph of yield data points from farmers' field. So these are some of the demonstration plots, the yield data from the demonstration plots. And this is about 120 farmers, and these are the yield data points. And you see that on average, if you apply phosphorus, you have yield increase about 423 kilograms per hectare. For inoculants, about 0.5 of a ton. And there is also a positive interaction between inoculant and phosphorus. Other practices that we train farmers on include weed control, diseases, and pest control, and also harvesting. What is the best time to harvest? When your crop dries, when do you have to harvest? We also train them on post-harvest handling, threshing, and also storage. Now, on rotation, this is also something they do, but we also train them to have the effective, to be able to have more benefits. And also, seeds are very important, and it is not accessible to most farmers. So the farmers that we work with, we identify those farmers that have the resources and the knowledge and skills to produce seeds. So we identify those, train them to be able to produce seeds. So for the foundation seed that we produce, we sell the foundation seeds to them, and they use the foundation seed to produce certified seed. And then our team provide them with technical advice throughout the season for them to be able to get good quality crop. We also facilitate the inspection of the fields. You know, we have seed unit that inspect the field and certify the seeds to be called certified seed. But they don't have the capacity, so they do only a tiny fraction of the farmer's field. But most of them are called quality declared seeds. That is, they didn't get the certificate of to certify as a certified seed, but because we provide them with technical advice, we call them quality declared seeds. And these seeds, they can be able to sell within the community. We also link them to seed producers to seed buyers. And with these activities, ITA and its partners, we have been able to contribute to yield increase of soybean from 700 kilos when we started the program in 2010 to about 1.3 tons per hectare as at 2014. And this was work done by TechnoSev. But as at now, national yield average is about 1.4 tons per hectare. I acknowledge USAID TL2 project and Into Africa project. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have time for one question. You had your hand up first.
Steve, how is the grain being used by the community?
They are sold.
But how is it processed?
They are sold to poultry farmers who process the soybean grain to poultry feed. So that is the main driver of soybean production in Mozambique. So they sell the grains to processors.
Okay, stick your question in here quick.
No, that was a good question.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you very much.